Amen. Thank you, music team, for leading us in worship this morning. It's good to see you here. Welcome. 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 My name is Gary. I'm the lead pastor here at Westview, and we're thankful that you have chosen to be here this morning. We know we're in competition this morning. With I was telling the team that's taking care of our children, doing Westview Kids this morning, I said, it's a little unfair that we're in competition with the Stampede because they have horses. And I think one of them said, yeah, that's just not in our budget. And it's true. So anyway, it's a delight that you are here this morning and those of you that are joining us by live stream. Wise guy. Wise guy. When you hear that phrase, it's often not a compliment. Oh, so you're a wise guy, or you're a wise guy. That's usually kind of when somebody is sort of acting a certain way and you kind of have this comeback of sort of not an insult, but hey, it's kind of a check to a person. But in reality, the truth is that we would all like to be wise. Life is complicated. And it's complicated at every age, for every age. When you're little, it's about maybe relationships, just getting along and the classmates. Relationships tend to continue in complexity. Later on, maybe you're interested in dating or you're not interested in dating. And wisdom is necessary. Or how to respond to your boss at work. Wisdom. How to spend your time or your money. Wisdom is a hot commodity, and yet it seems like it's in short supply. Wisdom, if I was to give you a simple definition for it, is knowledge rightly applied. Knowledge rightly applied. Now, of course, by saying rightly, that means to a particular standard. Now, we hold that Jesus Christ is our standard, so rightly applied in terms of knowledge, rightly applied as a follower of Jesus specifically. But where does wisdom start? That's my question that we're unpacking here this morning. Where does wisdom start? It doesn't start with Google or Alexa. It doesn't start with artificial intelligence, and P.S., there's a clue, it's in the title. It doesn't even start with the Bible. Where does wisdom start? Well, now I've got your attention. Normally, at this point, I would mention that we have a time of Q&R, question and response. But during the summer, we're going to pause our Q&R, or our question and response time. Normally, you could email or text and we would take your questions. You can still do that, but we will respond during the week as opposed to Sunday morning, because we want to shorten our service slightly during the summer, because we're actually hoping summer will arrive. And when it does, we want you to be able to be outside to enjoy it. I heard that it might be coming on a Thursday this year, but I'm not sure. Where does wisdom start? Like I mentioned, it is a hot commodity and yet in short supply. We are living in what could be called an information age, and it is accelerating at an even increasingly rapid pace. But we are in danger of becoming an increasingly ignorant population. Those that are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s especially are growing up in this accelerated information age. And if you've heard this phrase, and I'm going to say the phrase, and then you respond with what you think it refers to. Idiot box. What? TV. That used to be a phrase for the TV, is an idiot box. And that was because of the concern that if you spent all your time in front of the screen. But now it's accelerated to such an extent that there's a danger, because we are confusing information with knowledge. And then we're confusing knowledge with being smart, and we're confusing smart with wisdom. I want to give you an illustration of this. I've handed out some cards to some people, and if those people with the cards could stand right now, if you all stand, there's about six of you, if you could stand and show the congregation the word that's on your card, show them the word that's on your card, and then just say the word out loud. Yeah, one more time. Say it loud and clear, everybody. Amen. All right, thank you. You can sit down. See, that's information. And it can be coming to you from various sources. I don't even know if you even remember all the information, pieces of information. But for example, the one word was Wednesday. Just Wednesday. Well, what's so special about Wednesday? Anybody want to venture a guess? It's a day. Okay, sure, middle of the week. But this last Wednesday was particularly special. What was it? Canada Day. Okay, now we're creeping from information to knowledge. Oh, then there's another word. It was a color. Does anybody raise your hand if you remember the color? What was the word? Green. So it was a color green. What's so special about green? Well, information, but knowledge. Did you know that there are green olives and there are black olives? Did you know that black olives are just green olives that are more ripe? Did you know that a green olive means that it was harvested earlier and that there are more health properties in a green olive than in a black olive? So when you're buying your olive oil, if you can see on the label and it says early harvest, that's much better for you than if you just buy regular infused oil. Information, knowledge. Now that knowledge, I just gave you a bit of a tip, which is when you're buying your olive oil, now you can use that knowledge and apply it to a purchase of olive oil, and now you've moved all the way from data to knowledge to wisdom. Oh, there was also a number. Did anybody remember the number? Oh, look at you. You remember the number, but not the sermon. Okay. Okay, I'm feeling a little punchy this morning. 74, what's so special about 74? Those that deal in metals and mineral properties and metals. Anybody that want to venture a guess at what's so special about 74? It's the atomic number 4. All right, tungsten. Okay, I could go on. But this is what I'm talking about delineating between, and I could even say that it's also a number that is a summation of two square numbers, so 5 squared, 7 squared, but I won't bore you with that. There's a big difference between information and knowledge, information, knowledge, and intelligence, and education, and smarts, and wisdom. Those are all different. And what's increasingly concerning then is, in this information age, where does wisdom come from? And that's especially important when we want to understand who God is, what God is like, who you are and who you are meant to be in your identity. And wisdom is, how do I follow Jesus in the circumstance of life that I am in? That requires divine wisdom. Where does it start? Where, the location, does it start? The book of Proverbs. Over the course of this summer, we are going to go through a sermon series in the book of Proverbs. It was written by King Solomon. King Solomon was arguably, notably, the wisest king that ruled. When he was asked by God, what would you like? He requested wisdom, and it was bestowed upon him, and he became an incredibly wise king. You can read about him in 1 Kings 4. And it was recognized in the land that he was so wise that the queen of Sheba who was in the southern part. Now, this is a modern day map of Saudi Arabia, but the Queen of Sheba was living in the south, and she was trading with King Solomon up in the north over there, and she was trading back and forth, and she was realizing his reputation of being so wise and being able to do so much that it was so incredible. She had to go up herself, and she traversed up all the way up to visit King Solomon to find out exactly why he was so wise and how he was the way he was. And he is the one, thanks, Jed, he is the one who wrote a large portion of the book of Proverbs. And that's where we want to start this summer sermon series this morning in Proverbs 1. 1 verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning, and the discerning acquire skill, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. So now we are clear what these proverbs are going to be about. It is, as I was saying, these proverbs are going to be fundamentally about wisdom and right living applied according to this wisdom. But listen in verse 7, the last half of verse 7, he says, "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And I want to tell you something. Solomon, King Solomon, was writing this in the first person. He recognized his own foolishness. Because while he was the wisest king of all, he also became very foolish. The Lord had said, "Be careful who you associate with. Be careful who you marry so that you stay true to me, so that you stay true to Yahweh, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth." But he didn't. And by the time we get to 1 Kings 11, we read that King Solomon had hundreds of concubines and women and religious and idolatry and all of this had come into the kingdom because Solomon was foolish. Was it arrogance? Was it a perspective? But whatever it was, Solomon in his latter days recognized that he had lost the plot. So maybe the better question for us this morning is, where does wisdom start and continue to grow? Because wisdom is not just a one-shot deal. Wisdom is not just now you have it and you're good for the rest of your life. It's not one and done. Wisdom begins, but it needs to be continually acquired. It needs to continue to grow. Well, what does he say in verse 7 at the beginning of that verse? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or the beginning of knowledge. So what is the location? Where is the beginning, the location of wisdom? Well, it's in the interior person, the inner being. As Peter would later say, the inner person of the heart. It is a posture of reverence. In the Old Testament, the word is fear, but it means awe or reverence. But it needs to also include this aspect of fear. Yesterday, Kimberly and I were in Drumheller, and we were walking along this hiking path, and it was extremely dry, and it was quite hot. I've also been to Churchill, where it is polar bear country where it is extremely cold above the tundra line. Those environments, there's a certain awe and reverence and fear that we have for those environments because we recognize that they are something to be revered because they are, in a sense, dangerous. You have to pay attention. You have to know what you're doing. And that's a kind of a reverence or an awe that we have, that Solomon invites us to have toward the creator of heaven and earth. Not that he's going to harm or hurt us or that we need to be afraid of him doing something untoward, but there is a healthy reverence and respect for the creator of the universe. That's an internal person of the heart. So wisdom begins not, if I was giving a sort of a contemporary phrase, it's not what you know, it's how you roll. It's how you live your life, your posture. Contrary to what we hear, there is no higher source of wisdom than our Creator. There is no higher source of wisdom and authority than our Creator. That's what King David writes in Psalm 121. I look to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now, I've read a lot of books. My side interest on the matter of books, and Jed, you may have some of those there, on science. I love reading on this stuff. So you see Design and Nature, A Brief History of Everything, A Brief History of Time, another set of books that you'll see there, Quantum Mechanics, The Language of Science, The Hidden Life of Trees, Finding God in the Questions, and the list could go on. And many of you are scientists, and you know that the external universe and the internal universe are vast and complex. I want to give you an example of this. Light travels at 186 miles per second. Now, I'm explaining the vastness of the external universe. That would mean that from Vancouver to Halifax, you could do 24 round trips in a second. That's how fast light travels. 24 round trips in 1 second. Now, get this. The distance from the sun. The sun is 8.3 light minutes. From Earth. Not even sure we can compute that mentally. Now we go to galaxies and stars and so on, and we think about this. There are 400 billion stars. So we're told. Go ahead and count. 90 to 100 light years in diameter. The vastness, and that's the Milky Way. But now if we want to go one step further, listen, it isn't just the Milky Way. There are superclusters, then there are walls, and then there are sheets. I mean, it just seems to expand and expand and expand. And all that external universe is incredibly finely tuned so that you and I can walk around on this little bulb in complete wonder and existence. It's also finely tuned. It's all so finely tuned. Oh, but what about the internal universe? Well, here's a picture of a DNA strand. And so by now we're all familiar with DNA because you've watched a television show, you know, CSI or whatever these things and all of that. Now, I got to be careful, so I'm going to read this because I'm not a medical doctor, and I know there are scientists here and there are medical people here, so I'm going to be kind of careful here and read. But I can also I'm willingly be corrected. But we're talking about the internal universe here, that every cell in our body has DNA. Your hair, the strand of your hair, brain cells, your heart, everything consists of what I understand to be 3 million letters, or bits of information. They're all coiled together in a little ball that's 5/1,000 of a millimeter in diameter. Now, here's the interesting thing. It contains your entire blueprint of who you are. And now, every time a cell divides, the DNA strand unzips, and the two pieces now both still contain your entire DNA, your entire code for who you are. 0.05 of a millimeter in diameter unzips. Now you have two that are identical. That's a bit of the complexity, your entire genetic code. That's just a glimpse of the internal universe complexity. And that too is so finely tuned that you walk around, you brush your hair and some hair goes into the garbage. Whatever it is, you breathe in, you breathe out. We don't even notice how incredibly, vastly, wonderfully all of this is done. And you know what the good news is? That God is generous with his wisdom. Imagine that. That God is generous with his wisdom. James writes that you can ask for it. You can ask for it. You can ask for it. And James says that God will give it to you willingly without even thinking anything untoward. He won't consider you to be foolish or ignorant or dumb or anything. In fact, it makes complete sense to him that you would ask. Just get a little box on our kitchen table that says, "Hey, Yahweh. Could you turn on wisdom?" And here's the process. This is the way of wisdom. Here's the process that we're talking about, is that knowledge that moves in the direction towards wisdom. And knowledge is received. We don't just start with it. We receive it. And so when we have an internal posture of reverence or respect or honor to God, when we are in that posture, we are ready to receive. We become ready to receive. Which is the opposite of, "Yeah, yeah, I know. I've got it. I know what I'm doing. I don't need that. Yes, sure, I already know." But when we have a reverence towards our Creator and we give that posture of respect, now we are ready to receive. And this is the way of wisdom. It all hinges on where we start, that starting point. And I want to illustrate that as well this morning. I'm just full of illustrations today. I'm going to ask a volunteer to come and join me. If you would like to volunteer to come, you can just come up. Somebody want to? Anybody? Anybody? It's very simple. Okay. All right. So this is life. I've put down the first brick. I would like you to take bricks, and I would like you to just stack them one on top of the other. And build it up one block at a time. Just pause there for a second. Pause there for a second. Okay. I see what you're doing. Pause for a second. Why are you doing that? It's off kilter. Okay. Keep going. Okay, it's good. Thank you. It's good. Perfect. Did he use all the bricks? Was his intention good? Did he follow the instructions? Is it kind of ziggy zaggy? Why is it ziggy zaggy? Lots of adjusting. Why did he have to adjust? What? Is that an angle? What do you set up for failure? Why? Yes, gravity. Yeah, follow on one side. What do you think happens if I stomp my foot or blow hard? May I? We're going through life. Where we start when it comes to wisdom has nothing to do. He was intent on doing it right. He had the right blocks. He followed all the right instructions. But the issue was that where he began, where he started, was not a good place to start. And so when life begins to unfold, and a time in the intersection and stress, it begins to reveal where you're placing your trust. Who is authoritative in your life? Who's speaking into your life? And that makes all the difference. If we begin with a reverence, a healthy reverence towards our Creator, not only is he generous with his wisdom, if we ask, he will give it to us. Otherwise, we will do what Elijah was doing with our lives, is one block on the other, and we'll make adjustments, and we'll go like this, and we'll go like this. And we think we're building our lives. We think we're building our identities. We think we're building our understanding of who God is. But really, it's just all of this adjustments, and we're having to create scaffolding to hold it all together. And then one point, the stress comes and it all falls apart because we haven't asked and started with our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what you know. It's how you start. It's how you roll. And here's the good thing. God is good to go. He already has wisdom to dispense. Now it's a choice that we make. We can be equipped, he says, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will, the Holy Spirit's will and want is to guide you. The Holy Spirit's will and want is to guide you and lead you and convict you and to reveal the truth to you. That's the will and want of the Holy Spirit. So not only will God the Father bestow and dispense wisdom when we ask, the Holy Spirit is present to continue to help us in our journey and in our walk. But we need to start with the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're on your keyboard as the source, or if you're speaking to a speaker as your source, you're going to land up here. And just complete transparency, we have Alexa in the house. I use technology. Back when I was young, I was a certified network engineer. That's all great stuff. But it is not the source of divine wisdom. I'm going to invite the music team to come back onto the platform. So this is the way of wisdom, the start of our summer sermon series. What's that? The song is, let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good place to start. Where is that from? Is that from The Sound of Music? Sound of Music? Okay. Well, we're starting at the very beginning this summer. Where does wisdom start? And how does it continue to grow? My question to you is, how is your posture? We're here this morning for communion. And the question is, how is your posture? How do you honor our Creator in your life? Wisdom. Lord, what do I do in this given circumstance? Lord, what do I do in respect to my finances? Well, let me ask you, how do you honor the Lord with your finances? Lord, I'm not sure what to do. Do I, you know, do this with my time or do I do this with my time? I need some wisdom. Well, how do you honor and show respect to the Lord when it comes to your time or relationships? How are you honoring the Lord? How are you showing reverence to the Lord? How is your posture? When was the last time you went first to Yahweh and said, could you give me wisdom? You begin with the Creator. You start by asking for wisdom and the courage to follow whatever the message is that you receive. Being ready to receive. Friends, it requires discipline. But disciplines lead to habits. And habits eventually become instincts. And that's what we're going to pause and pray about before we take communion this morning. To seek and search, Lord, where do I need to show honor and respect to you in my life? But I want to tell you something, that there's even more good news. Not only does God willingly dispense his wisdom, but he also forgives. When we confess our sin, he willingly, righteously forgives our sins and cleanses us. And even if you have not been one who has given God reverence and honor and respect in your life, in certain areas of your life, when you confess that, he is faithful and just and will forgive your sin, and he will give you another chance. He's the God of 1,000 second chances. He just says, come to me. I forgive you. Let us start again. Let's start again.